open up, if you would, to the book of John. Book of John in chapter number 14. Just going to read one verse and a very familiar verse. John chapter 14, and we'll read verse 6. While you're turning there, you know, Spanish, a lot of people think Spanish is probably an easy language to learn. But it's actually quite difficult. There's a lot of words that sound alike. For instance, pecando and pescando. Did y'all catch the difference? One is fishing, the other one is sinning. So we had just been in Argentina for a short time, and the associate came by, and my mom answered the door, and he was looking for my dad. And she said, he's out sinning with the missionary. She meant to say he was out fishing, and she got the two backwards. So my dad had to come home and confess that he sinned that day. But anyways, John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're going to be focusing on this verse tonight and really see that God has a message that he wants us to hear and that he wants the world to hear. So let's pray. Father, we do love you. We are so thankful to be in your house. Lord, I don't know how we could set through a song service like this and hear the music that we've been able to hear and our souls not already be stirred. And Lord, to not be excited about the things of God, to, Lord, I don't see how anybody would want to be anywhere else and to be in church on the Lord's day and to be able to worship you and to be able to be just refreshed, Lord, to be able to be refreshed, to go back to the workplace and to know that we serve a living God that cares about us. Lord, I'm so thankful that you go with us. I'm so thankful for your word. Lord, I pray for these next few minutes that you would give me your wisdom and your power, that you would speak to our hearts tonight, and we give you the praise and glory for everything that you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. You know, we're living in a time where it's very easy to communicate a message. In fact, we several ways that we can communicate a message. Probably the most popular way is through Facebook. I think the majority of people in here probably have a Facebook account, and I am always amazed. Now, I don't do a lot of Facebook. Normally, my wife is the one that likes to post pictures, but I'm always amazed that when she posts a picture, within a couple minutes, you'll have 75 likes and 55 comments. And it's just amazing that you can post something on there and so many people know what is happening. A popular thing to post is food for some reason. You know, I'm at this restaurant and immediately, you know, like, man, that place is awesome. Man, you need to try this and you need to try that. But Facebook, we communicate a message through Facebook. Another very popular way to communicate a message is by texting. Man, I see people text everywhere I go. Driving down the highway, you'll see people texting and they're swerving and they almost hit you. And then you honk the horn, your horn at them and they think you're the crazy one for honking, right? But man, you walk into Starbucks, you walk into the restaurants and people are texting 90 to nothing. We communicate a message through text messaging. We communicate a message by voicemail. I had just been in the States for a couple weeks, and I got a new phone, and I hadn't activated my voicemail yet. And pastors were getting on to me. They said, hey, I tried to call you a couple days ago, and it said your voicemail wasn't activated. You need to activate your voicemail so we can leave you a message. We communicate messages by emails. If you don't do the texting, if you don't do Facebook, maybe you do emails. We communicate. I send out my prayer letters by email, and it's just amazing how people respond to those. Another way for those that may not do Facebook, that may not do texting, that may not do voicemails, that may not do emails, is snail mail. You know, snail mail. Now you don't get very many letters by actual mail. That's another way to communicate a message, to handwrite a note to someone. Hey, praying for you. Hey, just want to thank you for what you did for our family. Or just want to tell you that I appreciate you. We established right here that we can communicate a message fairly easy. Well, God in His Word has a message that He would like to communicate to you and me. And I just want to say that this message that He's going to communicate is not going to pop up on your phone. You're not going to get a text message saying God. You're not going to get an email saying God. You're not going to get a snail mail at your house saying God. But God has a very important message, and this message is found in His Word. And it's more important than any message that we're going to receive through our Facebook account or through our email. It is the message of salvation. Now, I'm so thankful for salvation. I'm thankful that God has communicated what we must do in order to be able to be saved. But I would like to just speak a little bit about the message that God has given us and really just stop and ponder salvation. What does the word salvation really mean? Well, I like to define it like this. It is a solution to a big problem. Or a deliverance from danger. A solution to a big problem or a deliverance from danger. If we were in this building tonight and the fire started in the back of the auditorium and a fire was over here on the exits and there was no way out of the building, we would definitely be in a big problem. We would be in danger. Somehow we would need to be saved from the problem that we have. Well, we have, as human beings, we have or we had a big problem that we needed to be delivered from. We needed to be set free from. Romans 3 and chapter number 10, if you would go there, please. Let's see what our big problem that we have or had was. Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3 and verse number 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our problem that we had that we needed to be delivered from was sin. We were born with a sinful nature. Isn't it amazing how if you observe small children that you can tell they have a sinful nature? I don't have to teach my daughter and my son to lie. They are very good at lying. They lie quite often. And it is amazing how they come up with the craziest stories. I don't even understand why they think we would believe those things. You know, it's just like off-the-wall things. But they were born with a sinful nature. I don't have to teach my children how to be selfish. They could be playing with one toy perfectly fine. And their younger sister or younger brother grabs their favorite toy and all of a sudden, they begin to fight over that toy. Why? Because they were born with a sinful nature. You and me were born with a sinful nature. We had a big problem that we needed to be delivered from. We needed to have hope. We needed to have something that would give us a hope or a deliverance from that problem. We all lie. You may have stolen in the past. We may have said a curse word, or we may have used the Lord's name in vain, or maybe we've had an evil thought. Maybe we had a bad attitude. There are several ways that we can sin. Hey, listen, sin isn't just the big things that we think of. Sin isn't just the evil that we're seeing on TV, and it isn't just homosexuality, and it isn't just drinking, and it isn't just doing all these wicked things that we can think of. Hey, sin is a lie. A sin is anything that displeases God. So you may think, oh, well, I'm really not that bad, or I really wasn't that bad. Yes, the Bible says we were all sinners, and because of our sin, that separated us from God. We deserved a place called hell. Romans 6 and verse 23. Now, all these verses are going to sound familiar, but just stay with me. We're going to get somewhere. Romans 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. What you and me deserved for our sin was death. That means we deserved eternal separation from God. When I was, after I graduated from college, I worked at Ozarka Water. I had a delivery route there in Norman, Oklahoma. And I got paid every 2 weeks. You know what? I never walked in on payday thinking that I wasn't going to get paid. I automatically just assumed, I'm going to get paid today. Why? Well, because I worked. Because I sweat. I labored. I did my very best. I deserved to get paid for my accomplishment, for what I had done. Well, listen, let me put it this way. What we deserve for our accomplishment, for our sin, what we deserve was a place called hell, but God in His mercy showed His love. Amen. Gave us hope. So the problem that you and me have is that we're sinners. And that we don't deserve to go to heaven. We deserve to go to hell. So we needed to be saved. We needed to be delivered from our problem. And God has given us all the resources to be delivered, to be set free from our problem. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave who? His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. Listen, God loved us so much that He saw our problem and He knew what we deserved, but He was willing to send His only begotten Son. He was willing to send Him down to this earth to die in your place, to die in my place. Why? Well, because He loved us so much, He wanted us to be able to be delivered. He wanted us to give us a hope. He wanted us to give us a home in heaven. He wanted us to be able to have a life that would be pleasing to Him. He sent His Son to die for us. Romans 6, and verse, the end of verse 23 says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice it says the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life. Well, how do you get the gift of God? What must you do to be delivered? Or what did you do to be delivered from your sin problem? Well, you had to repent of your sins. Luke 13:3. Go there if you would. Luke 13:3. Luke 13:3 tells us very clearly, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Hey, if you are saved today, if you have been delivered from your sin problem, if you have been set free, it is because you came to a point in your life where you understood that your sin was wrong and you repented of that sin. You put aside that sin. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you're never going to sin again. We still have a sinful nature. Yes, we're still going to sin, but we understand that the sin separated us from God and we repent of it. Meaning we don't do it on purpose. We try to avoid sin. If I was an alcoholic, which I'm not, don't get any ideas. If I was an alcoholic and I came home Friday night drunk and I hit my wife. Saturday morning I was normal, and I knew what had happened or knew what was going on. And I said, "Babe, I just want to say that I'm sorry for last night." Well, Saturday night comes around and I do the same thing. We go through the whole process. Sunday morning, I tell her I'm sorry. And then Sunday night, I go back out. And Monday night, I go back out. And Tuesday night, I go back out. But every morning, I tell her sorry. Do you think that I truly repented of my sins? No. See, we have to repent. Hey, I'm kind of weary of people that say they're saved and that they're on the way to heaven, but there's never been a change. There's never been an evidence that they've repented of their sins. Hey, they're still living the same old life. They're still living like they're under bondage. They're still doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Hey, there's something is not right. If you're saved, if you truly repented, then there's a difference. Acts chapter number 3. Another verse that tells us very clearly that we must repent. Acts in chapter number 3 and verse 19. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." So, our problem was that we have a sinful nature. We needed to be set free from our sins. What we deserved was eternal separation from God. God sent His only begotten Son. He died for us. We must repent. If you're saved, you repented of your sins. But the next thing we must do is we must confess our sins. 1 John 1, 9. First John in chapter 1 and verse 9 says this. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins." Aren't you thankful for that verse? Aren't you thankful that if we are willing to confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins? I'm so thankful today that I got saved, that I understood that I needed to repent of my sins, and I'm so glad that I came to a point in my life where I humbled myself before God, and I acknowledged before a holy and a righteous and a just God. I confess, "Lord, I am wicked. Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I need You to change my life. Lord, I need to be set free from the bondage that I am." And I'm so thankful that He was faithful and that He was just and that He forgave me of my sins. It wasn't maybe I'll forgive you. No, if I was willing to confess before Him, says He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what that means? Listen, it doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter how bad or wicked you were. It doesn't matter how bad and wicked people are in this world. If they are willing to come to a place where they understand that they're sinners, if they are willing to come to a place where they humble themselves and confess before an almighty God that their sin separated from God and that He is the only way to eternal life, hey, anybody who is willing to come to this point, God is willing to give them salvation. Amen. He was willing to give you and me salvation. Amen. May we never get over the fact what He's done for us. That He set us free. He lifted us up out of that miry pit. And He put us on solid ground. Romans 10 and verse 9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Acts chapter 2 and verse 21. Acts chapter 2 and verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We must confess our sins. We must be willing to call upon Him as our Lord and Savior. But we must believe. We must believe in Him. When you got saved, you repented. You confessed before God. But you had a belief that He had the power to save you. Acts 16 and verse 31. And they said, now this is the conversion of the Philippian jailer. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We must put our faith and our trust in the only one that can give us the salvation that we need from our big problem. And listen, what the world needs, what countries around us need, what people here in New Mexico need, and what people all around our country need, is they need to hear this message of salvation. Hey, we've been given much. If you're here tonight and you're saved, hey, it's nothing that you did. It's by the grace of God that He humbled you. He grabbed a hold of your heart and He helped you realize where you were at. Hey, but may we never get over the fact that there are still people that have a big problem and that they can slip off into eternity any second. And they need someone to come in and rescue them and tell them how they can be saved. Hey, that's why I'm going to Argentina. I'm not going just because I like Argentina. I'm not going just because it's beautiful. I'm not going just because that's where I grew up. I'm going because they need to hear the message of salvation. They need to know how they can be delivered from their problem.
Yeah, amen.
How they can have hope. And God has given me in His Word the message that I need. I don't need to change it. I don't need to water it down. I don't need to come up with a newer version. I don't need to come up with a new philosophy. But salvation still works. The cross still changes lives.
Amen.
You may remember, I think I might have mentioned it last time, but my wife didn't grow up in a Christian home. Dad was an alcoholic. But at the age of 15, they began to look for a church, her and her mom. You know, they went to several churches that didn't have hope from their problem. It was just empty. But they came across a Baptist church that was started by a missionary. And for the first time, they heard this message that we hear every week. She understood that she was a sinner. She understood that she needed to repent. She understood that she needed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she did. And you know what? God was faithful and just to forgive her of her sins.
Amen.
God was faithful and just to forgive her mom of her sins. God was faithful and just to forgive her brothers of their sins. And 5 years later, God was faithful and just to forgive her dad of all the wicked things that he had done. But God, in His mercy, saved him.
Amen.
The message that we have is a very important message. And it's a message that should never grow old. It's a message that we should never get tired of talking about. It's a message that we should never stop communicating to the world. It's a message that we need to communicate daily. It's a message that we need to communicate everywhere we go, that Jesus saves, that there is hope from your big problem, and is not found in man, and is not found in a better job, and is not found in a religion. No, John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Listen, there is no other way that people can be delivered. There was no other way that you could be delivered. Hey, you've been set free. Hey, you've been delivered. It's time for us to deliver that message to the world. You know, I'm kind of bothers me to see people that say they're saved and yet they walk around with a frown on their face And yet when they hear good singing and good preaching and when they come to the house of God, you ask them, hey, how's it going? How you doing? Oh, just barely surviving. Oh, it's just so rough. Oh, I had this problem and I have that problem and this and that and there's so many bills. Well, hold up a second. You had a big problem, a sin problem. And God chose to deliver you from your sin. He gave you eternal life. We shouldn't be walking around down in the dumps. We shouldn't be walking around with our frown on our face. Hey, life may be tough, but let us be reminded of what God has given us. Let us be reminded that we have hope. Let us be reminded that this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Hey, someday we're going to be on the streets of gold. Someday we're going to be singing around the throne. Someday we're going to be worshiping God. Hey, the things of this life are temporary. We're going to be with God. We ought to be happy. We ought to be rejoicing. We ought to be concerned about sharing the message. Christians don't want to get involved. They don't want to serve. Hey, they just want to come and warm up the pew. No, we need some people that remember what they've been set free from. And they need to get on fire for the Lord.
Amen.
And begin being involved in sharing the message of salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9. We know for it's not by works. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now let's suppose that tonight I tell Brother Destry. I say, Brother Destry, I have a brand new 2016 Toyota Tundra. I know everybody likes trucks out in this area, right? Especially big trucks. So I tell Brother Destry, Brother Destry, I have a Toyota Tundra right outside, right out the back. Fully equipped. Man, it rides nice. Brother Destry, I want to give you this gift. There's a couple things Brother Destry's going to have to do to get that gift. First off, he's going to have to believe in what I tell him. He's going to have to believe that back here, that now Brother Destry, there's not really a truck, so don't be getting your hopes up. That in the back here, there's a Toyota Tundra. When he believes that what I'm telling him is true, he's going to be willing to receive the gift. But if he doesn't believe what I'm going to what I'm telling him is true, you're just joking. Ah, that can't really be. He's never going to receive the gift.
That's right.
You see, the same thing is true about salvation. In order to be able to receive salvation, they must first put their trust in God who can deliver them.
Yeah.
And they must receive God's Son. They must receive eternal life. Romans 10 and verse 13. Romans 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, I'm thankful tonight that over the past 2 years serving in Argentina, that we've been able to see people set free from the problem that they had. We've been able to tell people how that Jesus loved them. We've been able to tell people that they need to repent of their sins. We've been able to tell people that they must confess their sins before God. But they need to believe on God. And they've believed and accepted the gift of salvation. I'm guessing tonight on a Sunday night, the majority of you are saved. But I want to remind you that there's a lot of people that still need to be delivered.
Amen.
And that we should never forget what God has saved us from.
Amen.
Some of you may have had a pretty rough background. Some of you may have been going down the wrong road. But because of this message that God had, your life has been changed. You've been set free. We ought to thank God every day for the salvation that He's given you and me. And we ought to pray every day that God would help us to share this message with those that still need to hear. May it never grow old. May we never become stagnant Christians where we don't want to serve God. Hey, if you don't feel like you want to serve God, just remember what He did for you. Just remember the day you got saved. Just remember the path you were taking. And thank God for what He's done. And I'll tell you, it will give you a new view towards serving God. We need more people that understand what we've been delivered from and to share this message with other people. Are you sharing the message? Are you thankful for the deliverance? If not, we need to ask God to help us to every day thank Him for what He's done. And to share this with the world. Hey, it's easy to look at the news and to become discouraged. And to become angry and upset. And say, man, this world is so wicked, they're not ever going to turn to God. The majority probably won't. But that doesn't change our responsibility to share the message. We still need to make sure that people can be set free if they are willing to follow the instructions. Amen. May God help us each and every day to be mindful of this. Father, we love You. Lord, I'm so thankful for who You are. Lord, I can remember the day I got saved. Lord, how You changed my life. Lord, there's people in here that can remember when they got saved. Lord, maybe they're at a point in their life where Christianity seems to not be like it once was. Maybe they're just kind of discouraged, just barely making it, barely coming to church, barely getting through life. And maybe it's because they've forgotten of the great love that was shown to them and about the salvation that they received. Lord, there may be someone in here tonight, maybe a young person, maybe an adult, that has never, ever acknowledged their sin problem. And they need delivered tonight. Lord, I pray that You would help them not to be shy or embarrassed to step out of their pew, to grab one of the workers, to grab one of the adults, and to get this settled. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here tonight that is saved and they've forgotten, may they just thank You for what You've done. Bless this invitation as only You can do. In Your name we pray. Amen.